We're going to continue on this morning, then. This is going to be part two on evangelism. And if you'll look with me at 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 says this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time we can look into your word this morning, and we pray and ask that as we over the next several weeks are going to be studying evangelism, that it would not be something that we simply do with our minds, but that we allow the truth of a verse like this to penetrate our hearts, so that we as ambassadors for Christ would indeed be talking to others, that they too would hear the gospel and pass from death unto life. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we mentioned last time that the goal of evangelism, the goal of sharing the gospel, is what? Who remembers? That's right. Having somebody pass from death unto life. And why do they need to pass from death unto life? There's no hope in death without Christ. Exactly correct. Okay. So one of the things that will make this series on evangelism more impactful, if that's a word, and it might not be. Okay. But one of the things that will make this series more meaningful to you, to all of us, it's simple, but it's hard. It's simple, but it's challenging. And it is that the assignment for all of us throughout the series is going to be, you have to talk to somebody about the gospel each week. A different person each week. Okay? And I promise you, it'll make the series a whole lot different than just coming and sitting down and listening to me talk. You don't need to hear me talk. You've heard what I know, right? You know, but it'll make it different. I promise you, because what'll happen is that as you talk to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, and a lot of quote unquote Christian people don't know the Lord, in case you didn't know that, but as you talk to somebody who doesn't know the Lord and you seek to share the gospel with them, and you find out where they're at with your questions and so forth, And the genuine purpose of your heart is to have them pass to life, you'll have to answer objections. You'll be nervous. You're not sure you'll say the right thing. You'll go back and afterwards you'll say, "Oh, I should have said this." Have you ever had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
So I promise you, it'll make this series a whole lot more meaningful. And so the assignment for every one of us in this class — you didn't know you were signing up for this when you signed up for this class, right? Okay. But the assignment for every one of us in this class is every week, you have to talk to somebody about the Lord, a new person about the Lord. Now the person the week before you talked to, you can still talk to that person too. But each week, just make it a new contact. Every week. Just make it a new contact. And you know, it's Saturday night, it's 9:30, and John's going to ask me on Sunday morning if I talk to anybody. Go to the grocery store and talk to the checker. "Hey, can I give you a Bible tract? Thank you, bye." You know, okay, whatever. Just get it done, right? You know. But it will really and truly make a difference. Now, if you'll remember that the goal in talking with that person is to share the gospel so that they can pass from death into life. That's really the goal. So, but I promise you, it'll make a bigger difference. And isn't that true? You talk to somebody who maybe does know the Lord about right division, and what does that do? It challenges you. It stirs you up. And you say, "Well, what's that?" They don't talk to you ever again. You know? So that happens sometimes, but we'll talk to you, okay? So you got a few people like here, we'll talk to you. Okay. All right, so the goal of evangelism is to have somebody pass from death unto life, out of Adam into Christ, from hell to heaven and those types of things. And that we talked about last time. That's the goal. What we want to talk about today is exactly what is the gospel, and specifically, if you're going to title this part two message, it's going to be the clarity of the gospel. The clarity. And I was sure that we had a marker up here. Yeah, there we go. The clarity of the gospel. So turn with me over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I don't think there's anything that we're going to go over that you don't already know or haven't already heard. I mean, if you've been coming to the ministry here for any length of time, you definitely should have heard this, okay? The gospel and that type of thing. But look over to Romans chapter number 1, verse 16. Romans 1:16 says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now, question. What is the power of God unto salvation? What is it? Okay, and not just the gospel. By the way, some of the new translations, they leave, when that verse says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," they leave, some of the new translations leave "of Christ" out of there. So they just say the gospel. In the Bible, is there more than one gospel?
Yes.
Right, so that's why you have, see, when that verse says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." So again, let me ask the question. What is the power of God into salvation? The gospel of Christ. So if it is our desire, and we know it's God's desire, to have somebody pass from death into life, if the gospel of Christ is the power of God in salvation, then what is it that we have to make sure that we convey to that person? Which is the gospel of Christ. If you want that person to pass from death into life, and you want to give them every opportunity to do so, and make the gospel as clear as possible and take all the confusing things out of the way, you have to give them the gospel of Christ. It's not a complicated gospel. It is a gospel that you'll study and learn about and rejoice in all the rest of your life because it keeps taking you back to the cross, right? But what is the gospel of Christ? If you had to tell somebody what it is, what would you tell them and where would you go in Paul's epistles? Okay, some of y'all said Romans, which is good, and 1 Corinthians, okay? So let's look at that one, 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Put a marker in Romans, we're going to come back. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. In the Sunday school classes, the kids have been taught that this is the gospel. They know how to sing the song and everything. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." What I'm going to suggest is that as you're sharing the gospel, as you're talking to somebody about the gospel, if you have your Bible with you, and hopefully you do, then actually turn to the verses and have them read the verses. These are the words of God, okay? Don't try to paraphrase it, because that's our words. Use the very words that God the Holy Spirit chose to have Paul write, okay? So have them read these actual words here. If you don't have your scripture with you, then make sure and memorize that verse and just say it to them, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But say these very words, all right? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Those very words. A lot of times we use illustrations and we paraphrase it, and that's okay, but don't let that be the only thing you do. Use these words. Sometimes our illustrations actually kind of cloud the issue. God the Holy Spirit uses His words to bring conviction to the heart of a person. So use these very words. Or other words of Paul's, like in Romans. We'll talk about those in just a minute as well. Now, if you look at verse 3 again, something very important. Verse 3 again. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So it's part of Paul's special revelation, right? What's the very next word after the comma? Yeah. See, he doesn't say, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." But he says, "How that?" You got to emphasize that "how." What does it mean, "how that"? What's he talking about there? Yes, how he did it. Meaning?
Why he did
meaning,
it.
Yes. How that Christ. When think of Christ, what? Crucified. There's something that happened at the cross there. That's the emphasis there. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, He died on the cross under the wrath of God for my sins and your sins." Philippians says, even the death of the cross, meaning the preaching of the cross. Not simply just hanging up there with the hands outstretched like that, but the actual death of the cross, okay? So at any rate, when it comes to the gospel, this is what somebody has to hear or read. So you either want to have them read these verses or actually tell them these verses. So here's what Scripture says. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay? Go back with me now to Romans chapter 1. Go back to Romans chapter number 1. And look at verse 16 again. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Okay, so what must that person do? That's all they have to do. There you go. Everybody hear what he said? Part of the lesson we're going to teach today is, the first part of this lesson is, what is the gospel? Next part is, why is that the gospel? Third part is, what is not the gospel? And that's, bring back up if you could, that whole issue. Yeah, all those issues. Yeah. Yeah, so when we get to part three of the message today, let's bring that up again, okay? What's not the gospel, all right? And it says here, to everyone that believeth. That's the only thing that God asks a person to do. It's the only thing that a person can do. There is nothing else that person can do to be saved. There's just plain and simply nothing else a person can do. All right, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute, okay? Now look at verse 17. When you see the word for, that means like a further amplification, further explanation. So when he says at verse 17, for therein is the what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, for the what? All right. You have to remember this as, and I know we used to have an eraser up here. Well, that's okay. All right. Romans right there, Romans 1, 16 to 17, teaches us the reason why. We know what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Somebody quote it. Come on, somebody quote it. Okay, good. So everybody needs, by next week, everybody's going to be able to quote that, right? Yes. Right? Good, all right, okay. So we know what the gospel is, but why? Why is that the gospel? Thanks, Rich. That'll work. Okay. Why is that the gospel? Why is the good news how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to Scripture? Why is that the good news?
Yeah. He created the only way.
But why is that true? That's a true statement.
Because we're sinners, because we're damned.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, look at the verse. Look at verse 17. What's revealed in this message? Verse 17 and verse 18. There you go. See, the reason why there is no other way to God, the reason why the gospel of Christ is the only way that God can, in His justice, can save anyone, has to do with the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. Righteousness looks towards God, and the wrath of God looks towards sinners. That's why. And that's important that you understand that. What Paul does in the next three chapters really is explain why the gospel of Christ is the only power of God. There is no other. People say, well, God can do anything. No, He can't do anything. What are some things that God cannot do? Cannot lie. What's that? He cannot go against His word. He cannot sin. He can't justify. He cannot justify somebody just because he feels like it.
He cannot seal us.
He cannot send a saved person to hell. He cannot send a lost person to heaven. There's a lot of things God can't do. Does that make Him less God?
No,
that's who He is. Because He is holy, that's why He has to deal with righteousness and wrath. The issue in the gospel is first and foremost an issue of the righteousness of God. Not to the exclusion of the love of God, because the cross proves that God is both righteous and loving. But the love of God is not able to get to you until the righteousness of God has been satisfied. People say, well, wait, God loves everybody, so a loving God cannot send anybody to hell. Well, wait and see. The cross proves that God is both righteous and loving. The love of God is not free to get to that lost person. though it wants to get to that lost person, and the cross proves it, but the love of God is not free to reach to that lost person until the righteousness of God has been satisfied on behalf of that lost person. All right? So when this verse says here, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." The gospel that we're explaining to that lost person reveals that God is righteous and that we are not. See, when we say that Christ died for our sins, what are we saying about us? That we're not righteous. And when we say that Christ died, what is true about Christ? Did he ever sin? Well, then, if Christ never sinned, why did he die? There you go. So again, that's saying something about the righteousness of God, but it's also saying something about the reality of God's wrath. Okay? How Christ died for our sins, was buried, and what?
Rose again.
Therefore, saying something about what? The righteousness of God. See that? Okay. So it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Now, let's take a few minutes here to understand the condition of a lost person. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I don't want to make this technical and so forth, and I don't mean to. This is real. I mean, this is how when we're talking to a lost person, this is the condition that they're in. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 17. And it says this. Ephesians 4:17 says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the..." All right, now look at the list there. All right. Those verses are going to describe the condition of every unsaved person. What is said to be true about their mind? Okay. What does that mean? What does vanity mean? Mankind is the original airhead, right? Isn't vanity something just vain and empty and useless and no purpose? If something is empty, completely void, what do you call that? A vacuum. And what happens if something's a vacuum? It sucks everything. The tendency wants to bring everything into it. So it's no wonder that humanity, in their mind, it's no wonder they believe the crazy things that they believe. I don't know if you guys ever listened to on the radio those two, Ken and Dan, or Dan and, not Ken, not our Ken and Dan, John and Ken, is that who it is? Yeah, Ken and Dan. Okay, anyway.
That's another show.
That's another show, yeah.
That's our radio. You can't listen to that one.
Yeah. Anyway, one of those shows this week, the big stir, one of the big things that they talked about is the movie star Tom Cruise. And that Tom Cruise is way high up. He is the new Christ of the Worldwide Church of God. The church that was built up, Scientology, the ones by L. Ron Hubbard and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's the new Christ of this thing, Tom Cruise is. And he's like a seventh level of eight levels of whatever levels there are and that type of thing. And what they were doing on the show, these guys mock everything, by the way, so, but this one deserved mocking. Anyway, but they were talking about how in that system, the Church of Scientology is what they believe, and only the higher-ups know this, quote-unquote, know this, is that, of course, the human race was planted here by some extraterrestrial beings that came over and so forth, and they're now off into some other distant universe and this and that, and just all this, and you think, some people really believe this kind of stuff, Well, it's no wonder, because the mind of every unsaved person, it's vain, it's empty, so they just readily accept any and all kinds of ideas, all right? So that's the condition of their mind. Think about the idea of reincarnation. Why do so many people like the concept of reincarnation? You know what reincarnation is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, why do so many people like the idea of... You get another chance.
Over and over again.
Over and over, until you reach some higher plane and everything, okay? What's that?
Don't want to die.
Yeah. Why do some people... suicide bombers, like with all the suicide bombers over in... Well, and it's something more raw than that.
70 virgins.
70 virgins, eternal sex with all these ladies in heaven. It's real raw, friends, okay? Can we say it that plain? That's what they're taught. You die.
Not at all.
It's all, yeah. And it's not enriching humanity. It's not benefiting humanity or anything. It's, man, I'm going to die and then have all this, you know, and so forth. It's really... So, anyway, when you realize the mind of a person that doesn't know Christ, the Word of God is the only thing that's going to come in and just dispel that confusion. It's the only thing that can dispel that confusion. Keep reading. Look with me at verse 18. It says, having the understanding, what? Okay, so you've got the understanding is what? Said to be darkened. What does that mean? Yeah, there's no light.
It's like
yeah, the lights are on and nobody's home, they say, right?
Inside of a forest, you can't see beyond the trees.
Okay.
Everything is just, you're consumed, you can't see the truth.
Yeah, so if the understanding is darkened, then what's happening as they're trying to figure things out? See, if the understanding is darkened, then as they're trying to figure out the world and life, where we come from, where we're going, then never will come to the right conclusion. Yes. They think they know. They think they figured it out. But they don't. Why? Because the understanding is darkened. The capacity to really understand is not there. When you look at... Paul talks about the phrase, he uses the phrase, science falsely so called. The world out there is able to do scientific experiments. The world out there is able to do archaeological digs and so forth. All those kind of things. They're able to do those things. But because the mind is vain and the understanding is darkened, they're not able to come to the right, what? Conclusion. Because they're not putting it in the right frame of reference. All the evolutionists, because they refuse to put it in the reference point of creation, therefore they can never come to the right conclusion about things. See what's going on? The understanding is darkened. Not only that, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Okay, so from the life of God, what are they said to be? What would you call that?
Yes,
when we say a person is spiritually dead, that's what you mean. Spiritually dead. A person is to be alienated from the life of God means they're spiritually dead. That is what that means. If you're cut off from life, what are you? You're dead. And it's the life of God that you're alienated from. Okay? So it says here, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their... So what about the heart? It's blind. Okay, see that? And then it says, verse 19, who being past feeling... So to be past feeling means what? Have you ever burnt yourself really bad where a part of your skin no longer has any feeling, the nerve endings? Okay, so if you use the phrase... past feeling, what are you saying? There's deadness, hardness of heart. There's no sensitivity. You were asking about Pharaoh this morning. Just the hardness of the heart, you know? So when it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness and so on. So that there. Now go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 4.
Now, John, it's important to know that people, especially with Calvinism and that people know that heart is a choice to be blind because it's not like it's a sign where God's hardening a person.
Right.
He's not doing that.
Yeah.
This is all self-inflicted.
Yeah. Well, except the one clarification, this is how a person is born dead to the life of God because they live in a world that promotes the lie program. Their mind is already in a state of vacuum, hence the mind sucks that in. Their understanding is darkened because of that information and so forth. So you're right. I mean, it's not God who's keeping them blind. God wants people to get saved.
Because the light is dark. The light is lighter than the darkness. Darker, so that no matter how bad they're in that situation, if they believe the
yes.
gospel like that, it's going to erase all that.
Yeah. And go with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Watch this here. 2 Corinthians 4. verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are... Okay, that's a person who's lost right there. If we'll remember that when we're talking to somebody, in their mind they're blind, their understanding is darkened, they're cut off from the life of God, their heart is blind. Okay? So it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now wait a minute. We said it's not God that blinds them. Is it Satan that blinds them? Yes. How does he blind people? That false doctrine that they've been taught. The way that Satan keeps people blind... the way he keeps them blind is through false doctrine. Look at it this way. Have you ever had somebody, when you share the gospel with them, they say things like, you know... my mom was this, my dad was this, and I'm going to die this. If it was good enough for my mom, good enough for Aunt so-and-so, good enough, then this is good enough for me type thing. Well, why do people say things like that? Stupid things like that. I mean, yeah. What time? Natural man receives not. But that's true. But why? If they're taught that this particular system is acceptable to God,
then they're going to believe it. The lie program kept on through the generations.
That's right. That lie program is perpetuated from generation to generation to generation. It was good enough for mom, good enough for grandma, good enough for grandpa and so forth, and great grandma and so forth. It's good enough for them. I don't want to buck the system. So what happens is that a person is trusting, they're having confidence in a doctrine. Though it's not the truth. But they're having confidence in that thing, in that information. And that information is in their thinking. It's in their core being. It's what the... Again, I remember, I was raised as a Roman Catholic. You know that. And I remember, as growing up and everything, and I used to think this, because I strayed quite a bit, okay? But I used to think, you know, as long as I basically stay true to the fundamentals of in my religious system, if I basically stay true to those things, then even if I stray a little bit, then if I just kind of stay pretty close here, then I'll be okay. That's exactly what I thought. I mean, as clear as I am standing here today, I can remember thinking that. I would go to church, I would kneel down, I would pray, and you know, I'd confess my sins, this and that and everything, like a good Catholic has to do every week, right? And I would think, Lord, God, you know, I know this week I did that and everything, but Lord, you know, if I just take communion and I do the rosary and I do the signs of the cross, you know, and you pick your religion. This is just what I was raised in, you know. And if I would just stay true to this, then God, then I'll be okay. And that was a total lie. Go ahead, Jeanette. Man, isn't that true? That's a very good statement. Yeah. They don't want to be measured against God, but you know, against grandma, grandpa, whatever, that type of thing. In the mind of that person that you're seeking to share the gospel with, they have information that they're trusting in. Even if they're atheists, even if they're agnostics, right? They have information in that mind that they're putting their confidence in. And as long as they trust that information, that's how long they will stay blind. As long as they maintain their confidence in that body of information, whatever it is, you pick the religion, and of course, atheism, evolution, all that is a religion, by the way. But whatever bit of information it is, as long as that person's trusting that, that's how long they'll stay blind. Now, keep reading here. Look at verse 4, okay. It says, in whom the god of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So first of all, can it?
Yes.
So it can shine unto them, which means there's what? There's hope. It is good news. It says, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus the Lord. So who's the standard in our message?
Christ.
See that? Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our, where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, everything is opposite of this over here. This over here, you've got the heart is blind. They're dead. There's darkness in the understanding and there's vain. Their mind is vain. The gospel comes along and it addresses each one of those issues. The gospel comes along and it is light. When you share the gospel with that lost person, why is it that their reaction is so negative, so bad, so stay away, so defending of their position? Why is it?
Dark doesn't like light.
Dark doesn't like light. It exposes. Yeah, I mean, if you've been raised in a cave and, you know, you've been in the darkness all your life and all of a sudden you shine lights on somebody's, they want to, spiritually, that's what's happening. They're defending their position, okay? So as we explain the gospel to somebody, that's why the actual light, the words, Christ died for our sins. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the flashlight. It's much more powerful than the flashlight, but that's the light going in. That's the light. See that? The very Scriptures themselves, that's the light that you use. The very verses. That's why, if you have a Bible, show them the verses. If you don't have it, tell them what the verses say, hence memorize it and so forth. Okay? Now, so we know what the gospel is. We know why it's the only way. This is their condition. You got to have something that allows God to solve this problem in the man. His mind is vain. His understanding is darkened. He doesn't have the life of God. His heart is blind. There's got to be something that enables God, allows God to solve that problem in humanity. And the only thing it is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is the image of God. It will shine. That's the message. See that? So we know what it is. We know why it is. Now, what is not? I want to take some time on this one, and I'm afraid we're going to run out of time this morning, so if we do, we'll deal with it next time as well. But what is not the gospel?
Ask Jesus in your heart.
All right, there we go. Okay. All these modern phrases, there's two categories when you want to look at things that are not the gospel. There are two categories. All right? First category is going to be, and these are not necessarily order of priority, but one category of things that are not the gospel is going to be something that is scriptural. A scriptural good news, but not what? Not for this dispensation. What would be an example of that? Gospel of the Kingdom. Okay, yeah, exactly. John 3:16. Matthew 16 and so forth, the gospel of the kingdom. So there are things, something that's not the gospel for this dispensation, it's not the gospel by which the justice of God will save a lost person, all right, is something that's scriptural, but not Paul's message, okay? So if you're going to lead somebody to Christ, if you want to lead somebody to Christ, don't take them to Matthew 16 where the Lord Jesus Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. That isn't the gospel. Don't take them to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ says, sell all that you have and follow me and things like that. Give all. That's not the gospel today. Understand? What's that? Ten Commandments is not the gospel. See? So there are a lot being baptized. Yeah. So you've got Acts 2:38. He that believeth and is baptized. See, that's not the gospel. So there are some messages that are out there in Christianity that are scriptural gospels, but not the gospel of the grace of God for this dispensation. So again, Acts 2:38. Anybody know what Acts 2:38 says? You can look. It's an open book test, okay? What's it say? Say it loud. Repent and be baptized. That's not the gospel. Okay? Look over to Matthew 16 here. Look over to Matthew 16. I don't think... a good number of you here this morning remember Brian and Debbie Johnson. They're dear saints. They're in Virginia now. They were part of this ministry for a number of years, and Brian used to teach class on a regular basis, a real student of the Scripture. He and his wife both, and just dear friends and everything, and just real good people. And he went to a school where John MacArthur is the president and main teacher and so forth. And when he was coming into the Grace Message, he went to John MacArthur and talked to John MacArthur about some of these very issues. And in one of the classes that, if I'm getting the story correct here, but one of the classes that Brian was in, the students were asking Mr. MacArthur, you know, what is the gospel? Okay? And then let me show you what he read here. Look at verse 24, 16:24 of Matthew. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? That's what he said the gospel was. That's what he said the gospel was. In this class, that's what Mr. MacArthur said the gospel was. And you can read his material. I mean, he preaches a false gospel is what he preaches. Oh, he'll say Christ died for your sins, but then because he doesn't rightly divide, and he claims to rightly divide, he mixes it back over here with the Gospels and so forth. Listen, the Gospel, something that's not the Gospel of this dispensation, is something that's scripturally, it's scriptural, it's in the Bible, Acts 2.38, Mark 16, Gospel of the Kingdom, you know, those types of things. Something that's scriptural, the Great Commission, is that what you said, Great Commission? Yeah, Great Commission, okay? Something that's scriptural, but it's not proclaiming Christ like the Apostle Paul proclaimed Him, okay? Is there any question on that? What are some other things that are scriptural that you hear people quoting out there? We're not yet talking about the unscriptural ones, okay? Just pure spurious stuff. All right? There you go. Let's look at that one real quick. Yeah, go to that one. Yeah. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3:20. Revelation chapter 3, and notice what it says here. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup, and will sup with him, and he with me, and so on. That's a fairly popular verse used in evangelical circles today. You'll hear sometimes this being used at the Harvest Crusade out there, at the I think it's the Anaheim Stadium and so forth. But again, that's not the gospel there. All right. There's another real popular one. John 3:16 is another popular one that they use. Okay. What's another one that you hear, especially again out here at the Harvest Crusade, that they use? What's that? Romans 10 is another one, but there's another one I'm thinking of that's really popular. Billy Graham's the one who made it popular. It's the one where, remember when Billy Graham would give a pretty clear gospel. He would say Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again. But if he would just stop there, everything would be fine. But then what he would say is that what you need to do now is you need to come forward, because Christ said, whoever professes me before men, then I'll profess him. Whoever denies me, that's how he would link it together. Yeah, okay. But what to me was, I heard him say that on the radio one time and everything, and of course all the guys at Harvest basically do the same pattern, all right? That's from the Gospels, you know, if you deny me before men, then I'll deny you. And I remember him saying one time on the radio that you know, he's inviting the audience to come forward, they're playing the music and everything, and then what he would do, he would say to the radio audience, and I'm driving in the car, yeah, exactly, and he'd say, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm driving my car, I can't walk forward, I'm left out, you know? But that's another message that's scriptural, but it's not the gospel. It is for Israel's program, the taking up the cross, the Acts 2:38. That's Israel's program. But we don't want to take what was part of their program, bringing it into the dispensation of grace, when it's not the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, so now, next time, we're going to talk about the ones that are just totally non-biblical. They're just not even scriptural. And those are things like, give your heart to Jesus.
Accept Jesus. Yeah. Jesus in your heart. Ask Him, you know, be your personal Savior. It's all verbal, or the walking forward on an altar call.
Yeah. And what were you going to say?
I was going to ask, but I think it's in your heart. I wonder if there was a verse that they based that on.
No.
They used Revelation 20, knock and open and that type of thing. Yeah, yeah. Now, what else we want to do next time then is not simply talk about why that these are not the gospel, but we want to ask the question, why is that not the gospel? You understand why Acts 2:38 is not the gospel. Well, fundamentally, dispensationally, it's not the gospel. You understand that? But why is, quote unquote, asking Jesus in your heart not the gospel? Why is it that God won't? That isn't the basis. See, that's what we're talking about next time. So next time we're going to look at some non-biblical offerings, but then why it's not the gospel. Okay, now, what's your homework for next time, between now and next week?
15:3-4.
Memorize 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. And you got to talk to at least one new person this week about the gospel. Okay? Even if it's just to say, hi. You know, no, talk to one new people about, what? Yeah, just talk to somebody about, yeah, okay? And so come back with your testimony, all right?
My question is, what are you, you've been listening too much to John.